Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Fulfill God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
We're in the process of building these buildings. And you know what? We have sat down for hours and looked at the auditorium. And we have thought about, no, I like it this way, and I like it this, and how tall do we want this to be? You know what we're doing? We're forming a mental image. If you can't see it, you can't build it. I built a deck on my house, and I'm not a builder, but I just thought I could do it. I just wanted the challenge of building a deck. And I built about a four-level deck on my house. And I used to put a bucket out there and sit on this bucket. And for hours, I would look at that bare spot where the deck was going to go. And I didn't have a blueprint or anything, so I just looked at it and I was praying, how do I want this to be, and thinking about it, and how many braces do I want, and if they're 18 inches apart, how many do I need? And I'd sit there and I'd write this out. And you know what? I was picturing that. And once I saw it on the inside, then I went and built it. This is how they build houses. Some of you think that an imagination, I don't need an imagination, that's for little kids. No, an imagination, you can't function without it. You can't give directions without it. You couldn't remember how to get home if you didn't have an imagination. You have a picture of how things work. You can't explain anything. You know, this is why some people, if you don't have an imagination, this is why some people can't deal in abstract things such as mathematics. They struggle with mathematics because to them it's just numbers. They can't picture anything. But a good teacher, instead of saying, 2 + 2 = 4. Now get this. Instead, what they'll do, they'll take two apples and they say, here's two apples. And then if you have two apples, and if you can get a person to picture it and see something, all of a sudden they can understand how it works and they can see the relevance of it. But some people see, don't illustrate. This is what makes a good teacher, is when you can paint a picture with words and get people to see things on the inside. But if you can't see it on the inside, you can't see it on the outside. If you can't ever grab hold of, if you can't see yourself healed, you'll never be healed. There's a lot of people, see, that they know that God can heal. But the truth is, they see themselves in their imagination sick. They see themselves suffering. They've been sick so long, they dream sick. In their dreams, they're sick. You know what's happened? Your imagination is still working, but it's working against you instead of for you. It's vain. And once that happens, you can't see anything happen without your imagination. The next definition of imagination is the creativity or inventiveness. You can't create without an imagination. The third definition is resourcefulness. Did you know that the word imagination is used about 63 times, I think, in the Bible? And some of the words that are used, like the Hebrew word yester, I think is the way you pronounce it, Y-E-S-T-E-R. The Hebrew word yester is used four times in translated imagination, such as Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, where it says that God looked and the imagination of man's thoughts were only evil continually. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 18 talks about keep this in the imagination of their thoughts. David prayed that when he gave an offering. He gave an offering of about $1.2 billion out of his personal account. He had already given the equivalent of, I don't know, something like $100 billion of gold and silver from his treasury in the government. But then he gave a personal offering of about $1.2 billion. The people got so touched to see what he did that they spontaneously started giving. And all of a sudden, they just started pouring money in. And altogether, they raised nearly $5 billion in one offering. And David got so overwhelmed, he says, God, who are we to do this? All we've done is give you what was already yours. And he was so blessed, he says, oh God, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of your people. You know what he was talking about? He's talking about helping them to remember it. You can't remember without an imagination. You know, if I asked you, where did you park your car? Most of you didn't write down. I see you walk out of here, you turn left, you go over two rows, you walk down 10 spaces. And you don't just go walk up and down every row and see which one is your car. You know what? You remember because you've got a picture of where that car is. You've seen where that car is. You've got a mental image of it. If I was to ask you, what kind of house did you grow up in? Did you know you've got a mental image? You've got a picture of that house. And sometimes your image is different than reality. I know that I grew up in a place that not far from us, there were these woods. And when I was a little kid, we used to ride our bike through there, and it would get so dark, even in daylight, the woods were so dense that when you were riding into it, your eyes couldn't adjust. And it was just the neatest place. I imagined all kinds of things in there. It was a special place. And anyway, I went back and saw that when I was an adult. And in my mind, that thing was miles and miles and miles worth. I went back and saw it, and I don't think they had changed it. It was less than the size of this room, just a little area of some trees. But in my mind, see, I had it described one way. Your image that's on the inside can be affected. It can be polluted. It can be increased. Different things. But this is your imagination, and you can't function without an imagination. It's absolutely necessary. And so this same word that is translated imagination, yester, is also translated mind. Like in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Look at this passage of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 26, in verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him, because he trusts in him. That's the exact same word that was translated imagination in these other places. The Scripture here is talking about it has to be not just when we say that you need to keep your mind stayed on the Lord. It's talking about more than just having thoughts about God. It's talking about thinking about God until it paints an image on the inside and it shows you something and you begin to see things. And this is why a lot of people don't get the power that's in the Word of God, is because they only look on a surface level. They may have a thought, but they don't really meditate until they see it on the inside. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. But this is really, really important. This is one of the things that allows you to fulfill God's will. You can't live on a surface level. You've got to go beyond to the point that the Word of God begins to literally change the way you see things with your heart. You know, I heard a story about a woman who was nearly blind. She was a pastor's wife, and she had glasses that were so thick they were like the bottom of a Coke bottle. She was legally blind without these glasses. And she had a healing evangelist coming to their church, and she knew that this evangelist was going to want to pray for her, and she'd been prayed for so many times, she just didn't want to have it happen again, and so she decided that she'd try and avoid him. But he cornered her, he got her, and he says, I want to pray for you, and he made her take her glasses off, and then he began to pray for her and command healing into her body. And so after he got through, he says, now, can you see? And she started to open her eyes, and he said, shut your eyes. And she shut her eyes real quick, wondering, what's he talking about? And so he said again, can you see? And she started to open her eyes, and he said, shut your eyes. And she thought, what is this guy doing? How can I tell if I can see if I don't open my eyes? So the third time he says, now, can you see? And she started to open her eyes, and he said, I did not tell you to open your eyes. You have to see yourself seeing on the inside before you can see it on the outside. What he was talking about is, can you, in your imagination, can you see yourself seeing? Can you see yourself normally? And the lady finally understood what he said, and so she just kept her eyes closed and began to pray in tongues, and within a few minutes she says, I've got it. I can see myself seeing. And he says, now open your eyes. And she opened her eyes and they were totally healed. There's a lot of people, see, that miss what God has for them because they come and they say, pray for me. But you know what? They see themselves sick. They think sick. They've been sick so long, the sickness is not just in their body, the sickness is in their mind. It's in their emotions. And so they're just hoping that something will happen, but they don't have it on the inside. They don't see themselves well. They have thought and they kind of imagine, well, I'll probably walk out of here the same as I was. There probably isn't going to be any different. That's what they see. And the Bible says, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm trying to do this orderly. But anyway, I don't know. I'll just say it and hopefully I'll remember this and come back to it before the night's over. But hope is your imagination. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. And if you can't hope it first, you can't ever get it by faith. There's a lot of people that are trying to believe that they're healed, but they've never hoped that they're healed first. They don't have the image on the inside that they're healed. And their faith has nothing to motivate it and keep it on track. When it comes to fulfilling God's will and staying constant over a very long period of time, did you know one of the things you've got to do is have a strong hope, it says in Hebrews chapter 6, is the anchor of your soul. What is it that keeps you from being blown around and blown off course and missing the destination? You've got to have an anchor. Hope is an anchor of your soul. You need a vision, an image on the inside of you of something. And until you can see it on the inside, you can't see it on the outside. There may be some of you that you saw your parents or somebody else that died and they went through Alzheimer's. They got dementia. They had all kinds of sickness. They got weak and they got all of this. And you know what? You have seen that. And you may not have consciously thought about it, but you've got an image on the inside that, well, this runs in my family. And you kind of halfway expect this. This is what you see. And you know what? It'll become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Fulfill God's Will. This five-part series was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1068C for CD or R3212D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU21, titled Hope and Imagination, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to thank all of the partners of Andrew Womack Ministries for making this radio program available. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to broadcast on radio and on television. And if you aren't a partner with us, I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner. We spend around $1 million a month on radio and television airtime, and we give our materials away. It's not covered in just the cost of the things that we give away. If it wasn't for partners who gave over and above what it cost to put the gospel out to you, we could not continue this ministry. So if the Lord has blessed you, and you would like to see other people blessed through this ministry, I'd like to encourage you to pray about it and then call us at 719-635-1111 and become a partner today.